Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Sorry for our late start. So, today we're starting a new chapter of Tanya, Perek Chavtes. And Tanya at 29, of course, is a continuation of Tanya previously. So it's a good idea maybe for us to do a brief recap of what we've been talking about over the last couple of months, so we'll understand what we're going to be talking about today, which is EDD. We're going to deal with EDD today. Emotional deficit disorder, spiritual one. So up to the 25th chapter of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains how one can serve Hashem in a manner of Ki korev elecha hadavar ma'id. This is close, he says. This is doable. Everybody can achieve success in serving Hashem b'ficha uvilvavcha la'aseisei, both in the realm of action as well as in the realm of the communicative human soul. And even in our minds, even in our inner consciousness, we can change ourselves. And the Alter Rebbe tells us how we can do that. And he gives us basically a distillation of Teirus HaBaal Shem Tov, the unique illumination of Chassidus, of how a person can and therefore must become what we call a Beinoni. Tells you what you're aiming for, be realistic, what you can achieve, what you can't achieve, and so on and so forth. From chapter 26 and onward, the Alter Rebbe begins to do some troubleshooting. He says, okay, what problems might you encounter? So, one very big problem is what they call today demotivational syndrome, which, by the way, is a side effect of marijuana. People who smoke marijuana, in addition maybe to getting high, become demotivated. They have no motivation to do anything. They're happy already. Why should they do anything? Which is not a little deal and a huge issue, a huge problem. But today's not about marijuana. What's the problem? The problem is that a person has no motivation to do anything, then a person won't do anything. And if a person won't do anything, he will certainly not achieve success in his Avedas Hashem. Why? He has no motivation. Why should he do anything? And the Alter Rebbe used two words. He used the word atzlos, which means slothfulness, and he used the word kvedus, which means heaviness. So there's a slothful kind of heaviness or a laziness, an inertia, an inactivity, a person who is demotivated and therefore is not going to do what must be done. Now, the truth is that the Alter Rebbe seems to divide between the two kinds of atzlos and kvedus. He talks about a heaviness that is the result of depression. And he says, therefore, we have to figure out how to overcome depression, because depression can weigh a person down to the point that a person cannot function. In fact, that is the clinical definition of depression. If you don't function for 3 days consecutively in the normal fashion, a normal level of acuity of how you typically function, then you are clinically depressed. That doesn't mean pharmacology is the answer. Maybe psychology is the answer, but that would be how we define the technical reality of what's called depression. So depression is a major inhibitor of normative behavior. When a person is depressed, they don't function. For example, they stay in bed. So out of atzvos, out of sadness, out of depression, a person can't get up in the morning. They're not motivated. And people who are depressed, indeed, they stay in bed. They don't do anything. And that's a problem. So the Alter Rebbe said, okay, in order to understand how to deal with this problem, we have to know what the source of the depression is, because not all depression is the same. And once we identify the source of the depression, Alter Rebbe says, I'll explain to you why you shouldn't be depressed. So he's basically giving you the tools to self-psychoanalyze. And after you finish psychoanalyzing yourself, he gives you the tools of how to dig yourself out of the hole that you put yourself into, or that you fell into. Why are you depressed? Are you depressed because of merely the alma? Is it because life isn't going well for you? Is it because you suffer from a lack of health? Is it because you don't have livelihood? Is because you don't have nachas? What's the issue? If it's an issue that's related to your terrestrial life, to your everyday reality, the Alter Rebbe set out in Perek Chavav to explain to you why you shouldn't be depressed. And God doesn't hate you. On the contrary, God may love you even more. And that's why you're having these challenges. Okay, maybe your issue is not mimili the alma. Maybe it's mimili the shmaya. Maybe it's from a lack of service and success in Avedas Hashem. The Alter Rebbe says, that's not a reason to get depressed, and he explains why. And then we move on to Perek Chav Zayin. And the Alter Rebbe says a person may be depressed because he's bombarded with inappropriate thoughts and he doesn't seem to be able to get himself under control. And this bothers him. He takes Yiddishkeit seriously. Why is my mind wandering in those directions? The Alter Rebbe explained how and why you shouldn't get depressed about that. And then in Perek Kaf Ches he said, and even if it's machshava zara, bad thoughts, during davening, which means a person's prayer, his emotional relationship with God is broken and his davening is worthless, the Alter Rebbe comes along and says, here's why you shouldn't be depressed either. And he gives us the tools to deal with the sadness, the heaviness, the slothfulness, the laziness that would come out of depression. In the 29th chapter of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe deals with a different kind of kvedus, a different kind of heaviness. This heaviness, he says, comes from something called timtum halev, which literally means the sealing of the heart, or, as I called it, emotional deficit disorder. Now, I'm not a psychologist, and I can't tell you how to treat emotional deficit disorder. There is a real disease called EDD, or at least they gave it a name, and it's when a person doesn't function normally on an emotional level. And from my research, basically a person could have EDD in one of two ways. EDD could manifest itself, where a person doesn't react to stimuli in a normal way. So certain things are supposed to awaken compassion, frustrate you, make you happy or excited, if a person doesn't react. And then is another issue of a person who is afraid to react, afraid to engage. They become aloof. They kind of remove themselves from relationships with other people. They almost, if you will, like wrap themselves up within, and they're afraid to engage or afraid to express themselves emotionally. Usually, both of these dimensions of EDD come from trauma as a child or abuse, emotional abuse, having parents who treated people a certain way, so where kids were smacked down all the time and never allowed to emote or punished for their emotions, to a point that the person simply has no choice but to stop emoting. Sometimes it's a survival mechanism. Rahman al-San of children who suffered abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, that they try to they shut off their emotions so they shouldn't react, they shouldn't be in pain. And it's a problem. It seems to me, for the most part, psychologists deal with EDD, not pharmacologically, but psychologically. They have counseling, and there's a strategy of how to overcome EDD, how to start to function again like a normal person. Very interestingly, the Alter Rebbe's suggestion of how to deal with spiritual EDD, although he doesn't call it that, probably is not that different. I don't know. I don't know what the strategy, but certainly it's not pharmacology. It's not. The advice is not, oh, go say L'chaim, and then you'll get emotional. That's not the advice. And there's something interesting that we're going to see when the Alter Rebbe talks about this timtum halev. So we'll start Perek Chav Tes, and we'll come back. But let me just read through the first few lines together, and I'll show you how we see that we're talking about something different over here. The Alter Rebbe says in Perek Chav Tes, Oid achas tzarech loshus eitzes benefashas habeinanim. There's something else which we have to deal with in the souls of the Beinoni. The Beinoni is the in-between person, the person who is not wholly righteous and has not destroyed his Yetzer Hara, but at the same time, he's not actually succumbing to his Yetzer Hara. He's overcoming the Yetzer Hara. Every time the Yetzer Hara rears his ugly head, he smacks him down, and he succeeds at transcending the Yetzer Hara's desires and wants. So the Beinoni may have a problem, asher lepa'omim, ve'itim rabim, that sometimes, or maybe very often, yesh lahem timtum alev, they will have what he calls timtum alev, and I'll come back to this in a moment. Shenaseh ke'evan, that the heart becomes like a stone. So the heart is supposed to be responsive. As we say, a heart of flesh and blood, it's soft, it's responsive. His heart is like stone, unresponsive. V'le'yochel, and he cannot liftoyach libo, he cannot open his heart, b'shum oifin la'avedah shebelev, in any way for the service of the heart, which is tefillah, prayer. So in other words, what's the issue we're dealing with now? What is the EDD going to do? How will spiritual EDD inhibit? Well, how does physical or literal EDD inhibit? It disables relationships. People can function perfectly well. People with EDD get up in the morning, they hold down jobs, they can eat and exercise. The one thing they don't have success in is relationships. They can't date. They have difficulty building trust and friendship. They don't know how to express themselves. People like this have difficulty getting married, obviously, maintaining relationships with their children, because they have EDD. It's not a secret that many a Holocaust survivor didn't know how to deal. They didn't know how to engage. And that's why there have been books written about second-generation Holocaust victims. But the children of Holocaust survivors have also suffered from Hitler Yimach Shemo, because the fact that these people function all together is a miracle that's beyond our imagination. Psychologists in the camp said that there was these people would never function. They would never be able to live again. They would never be able to build a life. They'd never be able to have a family. The fact that they did is really nothing short of miraculous. But having said that, many people had scars. So they dealt with it. Some people just didn't talk. They never talked. It wasn't popular to talk once upon a time. People used to put Band-Aids over their numbers and talk about it. It was an embarrassment. It was a shame. It only became popular in the 90s. All of a sudden, everybody wants to be a Holocaust survivor or find one in their closet. And so people didn't talk. And not only didn't talk, many of them were harsh. Many of them didn't know how to deal with their children. Not because they were raised by parents who abused them. They were raised in beautiful homes. But the experiences they went through was so traumatic that they had to literally shut the faucet off on their emotions and didn't know how to turn it back on. If you remember, when Rabbi Lau was here, on Friday night, he told this amazing story of when they were in this French convalescent home, right? And they all sat down, and the people came and they didn't want to look at the people, and they opened their heads down, right? And then this lady begged them to please come. And then this fellow who had devoted himself to them, all he said was the word Kinderlach, and he started to cry. And then they all burst into a dam of tears, and they cried on top of their lungs for a very long time. That's basically a classic situation of EDD. These kids could not function. And the way he told the story, it was an incredible catharsis for them. That was like they were healing their bodies, but they weren't healing their soul, their heart. And when they emoted, they expressed themselves for the first time. These are children who didn't cry. These didn't cry when their parents were killed in front of their eyes. They couldn't cry. They couldn't react. Because their life was in danger. They wouldn't survive otherwise. So the emotions get bottled up, and then they have issues with relationships. And it's not a simple thing. In his book, Rabbi Lau talks about before he got engaged, one of the most hurtful things he says ever was his father-in-law had this conversation with him. Like, are you going to be able to have a normal relationship? He was worried about it. And it cut so deeply, he said, because it's a real issue. So EDD, spiritually, how will it affect the person? Will it affect the person's functionality? Is not depressed. The person's not depressed. They're motivated. They'll get up in the morning, they'll do what they have to do. What's the one area in their Yiddishkeit that will be affected with an emotional disorder?
Prayer.
Why? Because prayer is called Avodah Shebelev. It's called the service of the heart. Which means that a person could have a perfect scorecard. The one area that he'll necessarily be deficient in is prayer. By the way, prayer is a huge part of Judaism. it's not an incidental. So if there's no Avodah Shebelev, there's nothing. Everything becomes dry, everything becomes meaningless, everything becomes vapid and empty. So Avodah Shebelev is a big deal, but that's the issue over here. Then he says, Gam lepa'amim, sometimes the effect of spiritual EDD is le'yochel lehilochim im hayetzer lekadesh atzpe b'mutele, which is a mitzvah in the Torah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah to go beyond the call of duty, to sanctify yourself in areas that the Torah did not legislate, where you have to restrain yourself and work harder at serving Hashem or do things which are counterintuitive and take the path of greater resistance only because you want to demonstrate your mettle and your love and loyalty, because you want to express your dedication and devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is a mitzvah in the Torah. But that's only gam lipa'amim sometimes. So it's noted that in the beginning when the Alter Rebbe talks about all this, he never uses the terminology Tzarech loshos etzos benefashos. He didn't speak about the word Beinoni. In the beginning of Perek Chavav, he doesn't speak about Beinoni at all. In fact, if you look at the beginning of Perek Chavav, the terminology that Alter Rebbe uses, he just says, Kegoin da tzarech ledia klal gadol. And he says, you need to know about this. You need to know about this. He doesn't mention the word Beinoni. He says, the way to get around this. All the chapters talk about, it doesn't say, and we have to find an Eitzah for a Beinoni. Why? Because the laziness and slothfulness means inability to function. And inability to function means you can't be a Beinoni. Because a Beinoni is a person who doesn't miss opportunities. He doesn't sin in a manner of commission. Doesn't do avedus. He doesn't sin in a manner of omission. which would mean that the Beinoni is a person who woke up on time every day. And he did everything he was supposed to do. He followed the Shulchan Aruch to the T. It's only that the passion and the fervor was missing from his davening because he couldn't emote. So there was but he went through the motions. He opened the siddur. He read the words. He even thought about what they meant. It just didn't move him. That's the arena. That's the area. And then afterwards, he studied his Torah. So it wasn't with fervor, but he studied Torah. And he did kindness. He expressed compassion to others. He didn't feel compassion, but he still expressed compassion. He acted compassionately. Every mitzvah he was supposed to do, he did. So in that case, he's now a Beinoni. And here, the Alter Rebbe in Perek Chof Tes says, Oid Achas, there's one more thing before we go that I need to talk about with you. I need to talk about a problem, a kvedus, a heaviness, which is not depression per se. It's not a full-on inhibitor which disables functionality altogether. No, this is a unique kind of EDD problem. This is a problem of only the emotional deficit. It's only deficiency in emotion. And the emotional deficiency, it's a disorder which will inhibit davening, because davening is a avodah shebelev. And we'll soon see why it will inhibit the idea of Kaddish Atzmecha
v'Motilach. So he's not connected to anything he's doing?
He's not connected to anything he's doing. I don't know if that's the case. Mm-hmm. He's not connecting to God at an emotional level. He's not connecting emotionally. He's going through the motions. Right? You can go through motions, but not have emotions. In other words, a Beinoni is a person who doesn't necessarily want to do the right thing all the time. He has a Yetzirah that's raging within him. It says, you should do the wrong thing. And he's tempted to do the wrong thing. What does he do? He does the right thing. Why? Because he believes that this is right. And he has the inner fortitude and courage and strength to do what's right, even when it's very difficult. That's what the Beinoni does. Every one of us can do this. We can do the right thing, even if we don't want to. Even if inside a battle rages, and even if there's a tempest of lust and craving and desire, we can still do the right thing. You say it's hard? It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. You're right, it is hard. So, a lot of things are hard. You think the weightlifter who became an Olympian wasn't hard for him to get there? You think the person who wrote compositions and was awarded a literary prize didn't work hard to get there? A lot of people work hard. There's no such thing as success without working hard. No person who's successful didn't work to get there. Some work harder, some work less, everybody works. So the fact that it's hard, okay, so the question is it important? And if it's important, then you're going to do it. And if it's really important, it's not even so hard anymore. And that's, of course, when it becomes really important, when the heart gets involved. That's when it's not only emotion, that's when it's an emotion. See, the tzaddik is emotionally engaged fully. He loves this stuff. He loves learning Torah. He loves davening. He loves giving tzedakah. He welcomes the opportunity. He never thinks about himself. So for the tzaddik, well, his avodah, it's a different level of avodah. That's not, we don't understand actually the tzaddik's level of avodah. Because if I loved Tanya like chocolate cake, I wouldn't have to work hard learning Tanya. Right? Anybody who works hard says, now I'm going to eat chocolate cake. Ugh, I really don't want to. I'm going to do this anyway. I'm just going to do this because, you know, Hashem says you have to eat chocolate cake. Well, he doesn't say you have to eat chocolate cake. And a matzah doesn't taste that good. So we have to, but you have to eat matzah. So what should I do? Well, first of all, not going to eat matzah. I mean, the day before is absolutely forbidden. Some people have a custom. Our custom is, I mean, 30 days before, stop eating any matzah. So you're not used to it. And then besides not eating any matzah, I hardly eat anything on the day before Pesach. So I didn't eat matzah 30 days. I hardly ate anything. And it's like 11 o'clock at night. And I'm finally eating after barely, you know, nibbling all day. So anything could taste good at this point. But that's like, we have to do that. We have to make ourselves that way. We're trying to do things so the matzah should be eaten with teyavin. So the matzah should be eaten with gusto. There's a story they tell that a woman once came to the Alter Rebbe. She had a din Torah with her husband. Okay, so the Alter Rebbe called the couple. And she said, I made a kugel for Shabbos. And my husband came home Friday afternoon. And he wanted to eat the kugel. I said, it's for Shabbos. He said, yeah, but it's a mitzvah to Amer Chaim Zochu. You're supposed to taste from the Shabbos food before Shabbos. And that increases your appetite for Shabbos. She said, okay, a little piece. Because, you know, it's guest coming out, little piece. So he ate a little piece of kugel. He said, "Ugh, sa zegish makiv, so delicious. And I have to eat another piece." And she said he kept eating kugel. And you know what happened? By the time Shabbos came, the kugel was gone. And I suffered embarrassment with people in the house and nobody had anything to eat because my husband fressed up the whole kugel. So she took him to the dinner table. So the Alter Rebbe disciplined this fellow. And he said, "That's a maternus tonus alchazach, and that's wrong." And whatever, he gave him a fine, and they went home happy. Then he said to the Mittler Rebbe, he said, "I wish I could eat kugel on Shabbos with the geschmack that this guy ate kugel on Erev Shabbos." Why? Because it's a mitzvah to have oynig on Shabbos, to delight in everything you do on Shabbos. Now, I guess this is the avodah of tzaddikim. If the chalent is good, you don't have to work hard at having a delight in the chalent. It's good. And you're hungry. But the tzaddikim aren't interested in these things. The Alter Rebbe didn't have any taste in food. So for the Alter Rebbe to have a geschmack and Shabbos food, that was a big deal that he had to work on. He wished upon himself, "If only I could have a geschmack the way this guy had Erev Shabbos." The point is that all good things come with an effort. They don't happen by themselves. A big effort. And the harder we work at it, the better we get at it. That's how it is. So if a Beinoni says, "Well, it's hard to be a Beinoni. It's really hard to just do the right thing all the time, especially because I really don't want to do the right thing all the time, and I have all these taivas, and I have lust and craving and desire," and I say, "Well, I'm just going to do the right thing anyway." It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. Put your mind to it. It's what you want to do. You can do it. However, the Beinoni says, "I feel emotionally detached. I'm not functioning emotionally. I have this emotional deficiency. It's like a disorder." You would think, he said, a normal person sees certain things, hears certain things, and he becomes emotionally piqued. He's moved, and I'm not getting moved. So what are we talking about over here? We're talking about the reality that when a person, for example, understands something well, he didn't understand it before, but now you understand it well. So when you understand it well, you get excited about it. So let me explain what we're talking about. He said, "Okay, listen to it carefully. I think it through." He said, "That's amazing, really?" And I get all excited about it. That's normal. Another person, he hears about all this, he doesn't get excited. He's not moved. He says, "Hello, is something wrong with you? Don't you understand what I just told you? Don't you realize what's going to be happening now because of A, B, C, and D?" The person says, "Yeah, yeah, I understand." "Well, why aren't you getting emotional?" "I don't know. I'm just not." So it's normal, the Friedrich Rebbe writes in one of his memoirs, that when a Yid learns Chassidus, and he hears about the greatness of God, and then he understands that when he's able to daven, that he or she has an opportunity to become connected, that he gets excited. But this guy's not excited. He'll daven, he'll go through the motions, he'll come to shul, he'll open the siddur, he'll say the words, he'll do what he's supposed to do, but it doesn't move him, doesn't touch him. He's not excited about it. That is called EDD. That's spiritual emotional deficiency disorder. So the problem in Vitam, and obviously it happens sometimes, that we have a Beinoni, and he has a spiritual sickness. What's his spiritual malaise? Want to call it a mental illness? No problem. Mental illness is also a sickness. By the way, EDD is a mental illness. It's considered a form of mental illness. Right? When a person doesn't react, doesn't function normally. It's not called an emotional illness. So a person's got a problem. Okay, fine. So what do you do about it? Well, the first thing is that you have to diagnose it. And after you diagnose it, then you can figure out how to heal it. So the first thing Alter Rebbe is doing for you is diagnosis. The chapter opens with diagnosis. He explained to you what we're talking about over here, that when a person's heart is sealed and a person is not functioning normally, a person doesn't react as he should, that is called timta malev, and the metaphor is shanasa ke'even, which, by the way, this is a biblical poetry, biblical verbiage. It's brought up by the prophet Ezekiel in at least three places where he talks about, do you have hearts of stone? How could you not be moved? How could you not care? How could you not get excited? So what we call having a lev basar, flesh is soft, and flesh is, so to speak, able to absorb the magnitude of whatever it is that's going on, and a person reacts. But stone is not malleable. Stone just remains. It's unmoved. That's a person can have a stony expression. An emotional expression or a stony expression. A person can have, you're greeted with a stony silence or a stony response. That's what we speak about over here. Indifferent. Huh? Stone-faced. Yeah? Yeah? A famous fundraiser once told me that he worked on a certain person for a very long time, and he got an enormous check, and he purposely held himself back and he didn't respond. He said, thank you. I don't know what his cheshbon was and how. And the guy who gave us like many millions of dollars, he said to somebody, does that man have a heart? Or is he made of stone? In other words, he told me, like, how could he not react? Like, a person works on a donation and he has this, you know, enormous load that he's carrying, and he gives him $5 million. In one fell swoop, he didn't react. So a normal person reacts to things. Here's a person who's not reacting. He just can't get himself into davening. Davening is emotional time. We talked about davening as Shas Krava, Shas Tzlosos, that the time of davening is a time of battle, and it's a time when he battles with it. He emotionally battles with his Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah is throwing all these bad thoughts, and he's pushing out the bad thoughts. But ultimately, it's about emoting. If you're successful in davening, you're emoting before Hashem. And here's a guy, he can't find his emotions. He's not getting excited. Yes, he learned Chassidus, and he was Mizbeinin, he spent the time, and he contemplated all the things he's supposed to do. And it's not working. It says in Sefer Achsidim that the whole idea of davening is to have Simchas Halev BaKadosh Baruch Hu, to rejoice at the fact that I'm a Jew. That's how the Sefer Achsidim describes the emotional impact or the emotional result of a davening is supposed to achieve. He says the whole Avodah of davening is Lavei Lidei Midas Ahava, to come to the level of love, that a person loves Hashem. How do you have Ahavas Hashem? When you daven. It happens through davening. And we know that davening is the time, the right time, the appropriate time, the prime time to awaken all these feelings. And the person says, Gewalt, it's not working for me. You can't tell me I'm doing the wrong things, I'm doing all the right things, and yet I'm not getting moved, I'm not getting inspired, it's not working. My davening is flat. And all the things that would typically, or are supposed to move me, are not moving me. So what do? So the first thing we diagnosed about spiritual EDD is, let's know what it is and what it isn't. Number one, it does not inhibit you from doing what you're supposed to do. Because a person can go through the motions, especially as a Beinoni. The Beinoni does not always serve Hashem with Ahava V'Yira. He doesn't always serve Hashem with fervor, with reverence, with awe, with joy, with jubilance, with passion. He doesn't always. The Tzaddik does that. What does the Beinoni do? He serves Hashem. He does what he's supposed to do. This is not the kind of heaviness that inhibits or disables a yid from serving Hashem. This will, however, this emotional disorder will disable him from davening properly. Because proper davening has to be an emotional experience. So now we know what the disorder is. And now we know what the impact of the disorder is. And the question is, what to do about it? Now, before we go on to what to do about it, Alter Rebbe adds one more thing. V'gam lepamim, sometimes liyocholi hilochim im ha-yetzer, he cannot fight with his yetzer-hara, lekadosh atzmei b'mutali, to sanctify himself in the things which are legally permitted. So we talked about this. There's actually a mitzvah in the Torah called kadosh atzmei b'mutalach, which means even in things which are necessary for the body, like eating and sleeping and drinking and so on and so forth, that doesn't mean that a person should immerse himself in it. You know, as they say, you know, eat with both hands and 2 feet. Eat, fine. And therefore, what did Talmid Chacham used to do? They used to delay the reading. Everybody would eat at 10 o'clock in the morning. They would eat at 11 or 12 o'clock in the morning, 12 p.m. And at Shor Revius, let's say, proverbially, sunrise is at 6 a.m. So once upon a time, people didn't eat breakfast. Breakfast is a ridiculous thing. Past Shacharis means they used to eat 2 meals a day once upon a time. They ate a meal in the late morning, and they ate a meal in the early evening. And that was the 2 meals a day, and people functioned very well, and they were less obese, and they were happier. Today, we have so much food, we don't even know what to do with it. We eat 3 square meals a day, which is ridiculous. Nobody needs it. People are eating 7 o'clock in the morning. What are you eating 7 o'clock in the morning for? Because you can take a drink, you drink something. If they eat, who has koyach to eat? Whenever I'm in Israel, if there is mishugan at breakfast. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy breakfast. Who could pack yourself in like that? Like 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, we'll eat like how much can a person eat? It's not normal. The truth is, a person can nibble something in the morning, have something to taste something. But breakfast, a person has a normal meal for people. Once upon a time, the convention was at 10 o'clock in the morning, 4 hours after sunrise, after daybreak. It's a chamil chachamim. They used to eat. You have to eat. It's a mitzvah to eat. They said, no, not so fast. We'll eat at 11, delayed an hour. Or sometimes they would delay at 2 hours. They would eat at 6 hours, which is at midday. So the question is, they learned Torah before, they learned Torah after. They served Hashem before and after, so what's the point? Why would they delay the meal? The point was that just because the animal wants doesn't mean I have to feed him fully. I'll get to it. And that itself is a mitzvah. Not everything that has to be done with a full thrust of the craving, the lust, and the desire. I'll get to it. Restrain oneself, to live a life of restraint. And that's a mitzvah in the Torah. Now, it's a mitzvah. In order to do this, you have to battle your nefesh habamis, your animal soul, because the animal, he's an animal. And the animal wants it now and double portion. So you have to battle. And this person will have difficulty in that arena of the battle. So in other words, he can function. He can't go beyond the letter of the law almost. He can do what has to be done. He's dutiful. A person who is emotionally disabled can go through the motions. What can't he do? He can't go beyond. It's like a person in a relationship. You say, what's wrong? So I'm having a terrible relationship with my spouse. What's wrong? Did they do anything bad? No. Did they disrespectful? Never. Did they abuse you? Chas v'shalom. So whatever it is, the husband and wife are fulfilling all their duties, doing everything exactly. So what's the issue? I don't know. It's no relationship. What does that mean? Like you went through a whole checklist of all things a husband or wife is supposed to do, and his wife performs all their duties. Yeah, but they don't like. They don't really care. They don't care about me. They don't want to know what's going on with me. Ah, so in other words, they can't go. They're not emotionally invested. Kadosh atzcho b'mutaloch is not to follow the laws. Anybody can follow the laws. I mean, it's very hard, but you can do it. The question is, if a husband and wife will go through life doing everything they're supposed to do and not doing anything they're not supposed to do, and that's it, and there's no chemistry between them, there's no relationship between them, that's a very sorry state of affairs. That's not a, it's not a good relationship. Why? Because the relationship needs more than just there's the sum of its parts. There's the relationship itself. And the relationship is not comprised of the sum of its parts. The relationship should have all its parts in place, but it goes beyond that. And here we have this person, he's functioning. The problem is, he cannot function on an emotional level. He has this spiritual EDD, and because of that, he's not able to be mekadesh atzma. He's not able to sanctify himself. That's the battle he can't fight, because he's not in a relationship. He's just a servant doing what he has to do. And if he's just a servant doing what he has to do, but he doesn't feel like he's a child of Hashem that serves Hashem with some kind of fervor and emotion, we have an issue. So what should you do? What should you do if you're one of those people who suffers from spiritual EDD? You should come back next week.
No, it's, you didn't answer in two words, what's